All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Week 5 Action. It being the month of October, there was a lot of Halloween-like occurrences this week. A lot of tricks for a lot of teams who had no idea what was going on. Teams that won that shouldn't have. I mean, you know, yeah, the Lions even won a game. I mean, yeah, it was against the Rams. But yeah, just some very creepy, very scary stuff. And going on from there, we'll give you Week 5 Action. Of course, I'm Kyle, the senior of the game. To my right are Weasel and Chris, and hopefully Weasel will be attentive as we carry on. I actually have the first game this week. And to start off, we have the Bucks and the Bengals. Now, the Bengals have been going up and down throughout the season. They started off looking really weak against the Patriots in Week 1. They kind of looked a lot more steady since, but, you know, a few hiccups in their system. And this game could probably be argued as one, as the Bucks actually beat them 24-21. The Bucks are, they had a bye, so they're 3-1, but still only have one loss. Did anybody see that coming? Bucks only having one loss at this point? Anybody?
No.
Bueller?
No.
I didn't either. I'll be real. Anyway, so quarterback Josh Freeman for the Bucks went 20 for 33, 61%, 280 yards with a touchdown. Also had an INT. I'll say this. I've been one who has been on the bandwagon of talking smack on Josh Freeman since his inception or draft, if you want to put it that way. But I'm not sold on him yet, but he's definitely made a lot of progress between week one and two. Josh Johnson had threw two passes in there. Freeman was out for a couple plays because he was shaken up. He just took a couple plays off. He's still fine, not injured. Came back in later in the game, obviously. The concern for the Bengals might start with Carson Palmer, who was 21 of 36, 58%, 209 yards, two touchdowns. That's not too bad until you get to his three interceptions, one of which was returned 11 yards by Cody Grimm for the Bucks. So, in other words, he threw an interception in his own red zone when they were coming out of their own. Yeah, that just didn't go well. On the ground for the first time in this season, really to speak of, Ernest Graham had three carries for 65 yards and a touchdown, had a 61-yard carry, which really means that beyond that, he was 2 for 4. Epic performance. Kavak Williams, or Carnell Williams, if for you non-believers out there, went 11 carries for 33 yards, 3 yards a carry. The ground game for the Bengals had Cedric Benson with 23 carries for 144 yards, 6.3 a carry. Bernard Scott also had 2 carries for 4 yards. Now, we talked about how 2 carries for 4 yards is an epic performance. So why am I mentioning Bernard Scott? He lost the fumble. Mike Williams was the top receiver for the Bucks as he went 7 catches for 99 yards with a touchdown. However, also lost the fumble. Kellen Winslow Jr., the tight end for the Bucks, had 6 catches for 75 yards, while Steve Strotter had 3 catches for 39 on his own. Michael Spurlock also had 3 catches for 35 yards. However, he, too, lost a fumble. For the Bengals' attack, the receivers, some notable names there. One not being Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson. Let's say it one more time so we can tell we're doing this on purpose because he didn't really have a receiving performance worth mentioning. Chad Johnson. Terrell Owens, 7 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Do we have to go over again while we, I feel like, compelled to call him Johnson? He lost that bet to Darrell Revis last year, all that. Anyway, Andre Caldwell, 4 catches, 33 yards, and tight end Jermaine Grisham, 4 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown. The main story for the game is 3 turnovers by the Bucks versus 4 by the Bengals. One of them ending up in the score that obviously made the difference in the game. The Bucks had a field goal to take care of business at the end, which was set up by an excellent throw by Freeman late in the fourth corner. I'd say with like less than, I think it was 14 seconds left that they set it up with that pass. Anyway, so with that, we'll go from one team who shouldn't have been winning to another team who shouldn't be winning. Anybody get that? Okay. Anyways, Chris, tell us about the Bears and the Panthers.
I can't win. And the Bears versus Carolina, when you have a kick returner that has more yards returning than your quarterbacks,
plural,
you got issues on offense, and I'm talking about the Chicago Bears. The Bears are victorious 23-6 over the Carolina Panthers. Todd Collins gets the start for Cutler, because Cutler had a little concussion last week against the
in that beatdown where he got sacked more times than something unpleasant. Anyways.
Ty Collins was 6 of 16, a 38% average for 32 yards and 4 interceptions. Keelan Haney came in for relief. He was 2 for 3, 67% for 19 yards. For Carolina, rookie Jimmy Clausen was 9 of 22, 41%, 61 yards, and 1 interception. Matt Moore came in to relieve him. He was 5 for 10, 50%, 35 yards, and 2 interceptions.
Okay, real quick pop quiz. Did anybody see Jimmy Clausen doing anything when he got drafted?
No.
Okay, I didn't either. I didn't check.
No.
Okay.
No.
7 interceptions in the game.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Plain and to the point. I like it.
On the ground, Matt Forte had 22 carries for 166 yards, 7.55 average, 2 touchdowns. He did have a long of 68, so he picked that out, and he still had 4.67 yards. I mean, he had 101 yards in the first quarter.
That's good.
He actually had 91 yards on the first 4 carries he had, which 2 of them were touchdowns.
So he was teaching his quarterbacks how to gain yards and doing it through a more difficult medium.
I mean, granted, his first carry was only 1 yard. So, I mean...
Slacker.
Yeah. But then he had a 14-yarder, then right after that he had an 18-yard touchdown. And then Carolina moved the ball a little bit, punched the ball, and then he has a 68-yard touchdown. And put him up 14-0. Chester Taylor had 18 carries for 43 yards. It's 2.4 a carry.
So the second leading rusher had more yards than all passing
for the Bears. Yes.
That's awesome.
Devin Esser had 1 of 10, which is 25% of 1 of 10. All right. For Carolina, D'Angelo Williams was 12 carries, 51 yards, 4.25 average. He did have a long of 23, which brings it to 2.55. Jonathan Stewart, 8 for 30, 3.75. Well, that's not bad. He had a long of 24, so 7 carries, 6 yards. 0.86 a carry.
Hey, I had it for 0.85. You're more gentle than I am.
through the air, Matt Forte led the Chicago receivers with 22 yards on 2 catches.
Awesome.
Johnny Knox! 1 for 14.
Oh. Epic.
And Chester Taylor, 2 for 11. So, that's all the receivers I've written down here, and 2 of them are running backs.
Right, so
no
really...
No Devin Hester, no...
You've only talked about 5 Bears players, that's right.
Alright, for Carolina, rookie David Geddes had 2 for 11. Tight end Jeff King, 3 for 20. Rookie Brandon LaFell, 1 for 16. And David Clowney, 2 for 14. Now, is it sacks? You know, Chicago gave up 10 last week against the Giants. They gave up 3 this week. The Bears' defense did have 5 sacks. You know, the 7 turnovers, which were the interceptions. Time of possession was about even, 30 minutes, 19 seconds to 29 minutes, 41 seconds. Third downs, both of them were horrendous. 3 for 15 and 3 for 18 for the 3 for 18 was for the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Yards 247 to 147.
Well, yeah, I mean
low yards. First downs 13 for the Bears, 8 for the Carolina. Big note, the only difference in this game for the Bears was their kick returners and punt returners. The kick returner had 132 yards on the kick return. His opening kickoff, he took it 66 yards. So, I mean...
So, yeah.
So, that was pretty well. And then Devin Hester had a long of 50 yards. And so, I mean, that's it on this game. It wasn't really much to watch.
They both suck. It was a field position battle. And then Forte, obviously, being the big difference maker... Just being the only one getting any stats at work.
And that was the first time he rushed for over 100 yards this season. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Points for Weasel.
Yay.
Yay. With that, we head over to the Colts facing off against the only undefeated team in the NFL coming up to week 4. Let's see. How'd that go, Weasel?
Well, with the Colts' home victory over the Chiefs, 19-9, the NFL has no more unbeaten teams this season. So I guess that Dolphins team gets the,
break out the champagne!
So, there you go. For the Colts, Peyton Manning was 26 of 44, 59%, 244 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT, he was sacked once. The receiving game, Reggie Wayne, 6 catches for 75 yards. Yarek Garcon had 6 for 57. Austin Colley had 5 for 48. Joseph Dye had 5 for 39 and tight end.
Tight end? You mean there's Dallas Clark?
Yeah, it's Dallas Clark. He got 3 for 20. In the rushing game, Joseph Addai had 17 rushes for 50 yards, 2.9 yards per attempt. And Mike Hart had 11 for 50, 4.5 yards per attempt with a touchdown. In the passing game, Matt Castle, 16 of 29, 55%, 156 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. He was not set this game. For the receiving for the Chiefs, rookie tight end Tony Moakie.
Moakie is close. I'll give
that's
you that.
Moakie. 4 catches for 50 yards.
You know, that's funny because that works. I like that. Moakie. It's like Milwaukee. Who knows? It might be an Indian name. You never know.
Dwayne Bowe, 2 for 33. Chris Chambers had 2 for 23. And rookie wide receiver Dexter McCluster had 2 for 15. In the running game, Jamaal Charles lost the fumble but had 16 rushes for 87 yards, 5.4 average. Thomas Jones had 8 for 19, 2.4 average. After a full touchdown with 4-9 left in the game, the Chiefs got the ball back down 19-9. Cassell drove the Chiefs downfield and set up Chiefs kicker Ryan Succop for a 51-yard field goal with 1:17 left. She missed right wide right. Manning just then took 3 knees for the Colts victory.
Yeah, so
Succop.
Yeah, basically. I mean, this is when you look at this, the third down percentage is what compels me the most. The Chiefs were 1 for 10 on third down, horrid. The Colts, 8 for 17, 47% on third down, awesome. Practically 9 minutes time of possession difference. Domination by the offense, as we're used to seeing from the Colts against weaker teams. There's an interesting fact about the AFC South we'll touch on when we get to that. When we get to the Jags game, but for now, let's head over to another AFC South team that's been suddenly relevant as they faced off against the Giants. What do we got?
Well, the Giants coming off their 10-sack performance last week, and they're facing the number one in the NFL in rushing yards a game with 174 yards in Houston, Texas. That was before the game, by the way. We'll get to that later. The Giants were victorious 34-10. Eli Manning, 27, 42, 64%, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Matt Schaub, 16 to 34, or 47 average, 196 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he lost the fumble.
And I think this is very easily to say his worst performance in this season so far. Without any question. Obviously. Just throwing that out there.
For the Giants, Ahmad Bradshaw had 16 carries, 67 yards, 4.19 in average. He did have a long of 23, so 2.93 in average. Brandon Jacobs, 10 for 41, 4.1 with a touchdown. The Texans, leading rusher Arian Foster, 11 carries for 25 yards, 2.27 in average.
Wasn't he number one in the NFL?
Number one in the NFL.
Okay. That was very subtle, Weasel. Thank you.
Right. That was 25 yards. The Texans had a total of 24 yards in the game.
Ooh.
Well, how does he get 24 yards? Derek Ward had 1 carry for 1 yard, averaged 1 yard a carry, and a touchdown.
Epic.
Giants are really missing him.
Right, yeah. So now you're adding it.
So
were
the Bucks, that's right.
So now you're looking at 26 yards.
Epic.
Okay. Steve Slayton had 2 carries for negative 1 yard. Which a long of 3, so really he had a negative 4 yard carry. And Matt Schaub had 1 for negative 1, and that's how you get to 24 yards.
Record be shown, the good news for Steve Slayton, he carried the ball a few times, managed to not hurt himself.
Right. And through there, I mean, the Giants showed up this week. Hakeem Nicks, 12 catches for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. Steve Smith, 6 catches for 89 yards. Kevin Boss, 4 for 40. Say that one fast. Ahmad Bradshaw, 3 for 22. For the Texans, Andre Johnson had 5 for 95. Owen Daniels, 3 for 45. Kevin Walter, 3 for 24. Sacks, Giants didn't give up any. Giants had 3 again. Humanera had 2. That gives them, I think, 7 on the season already for 5 weeks.
A little bit busy. And you had 3 last week.
He had 3
that.
Last week. He has 2 this week. He's the one that had the first fumble also. Again, which he has, I think, 7 forced fumbles on the season already in week 5.
Pretty busy.
Giants are still in penalty, prone 9 for 84. Again, Time of possession was big here. 38-51 for the Giants, 21-09 for Houston.
I was hoping you were going to see that, yeah.
Third down, 5-14 for the Giants, 2-11 for Houston. On third down. Total yards, 414 yards to 195. First downs, 26 for the Giants, 11 for Houston.
So, yeah, I mean, for those who actually picked this game, Weasel included, props to you, but none of you saw it happening like this. What is that, a 24-point difference? That's ridiculous. But
Brian Cushing's coming back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As Weasel very also, again,
how did he do?
Very eloquently pointed out, well, he had four tackles. Yeah.
Yay.
He had four settled tackles, five.
That's what happens when you're not on the roids anymore.
The problem is the
allegedly.
That's not a bad performance. If you average four tackles a game, that's solid.
Yeah.
The Texans are horrible in their secondary.
Yeah.
And also right now their D-line's hurt a little bit, mm-hmm. So they're not getting the pressure that they're usually having on the D-line like they had the first couple games.
We talked about in the preseason, Dante Robinson, was their only DB of note. He's gone. Right. He's with the Falcons. That's right. So I guess the Giants threw him apart. If I'm a Giants fan, what I'm worried about, if that's the case, how is Eli still throwing two picks? I mean, do we have more tips this game? Are there more cases of the drop turning in interceptions? Like has happened some to Eli,
right.
Giving all the blame that's due. But, man, the Jets, I know I picked them to win that division. Excuse me, the Giants. All this New York stuff, man. The Giants, I still, like, they could still win that division because, you know, the Cowboys are a mess. The Skins, yeah, they beat the Packers. That's all nice. I'm sure there are certain people in this room who appreciate that a lot, right, Weasel?
Yay.
So, the Eagles don't know their identity. Sure, they lost to they beat the 49ers after they gave up five freaking turnovers. But the point being, if the Giants can hold on to the ball, that division is theirs all day. They can have that sealed up by week 14.
This is the first time this year they've given up less than three turnovers.
Yeah,
and they still gave up two. So, I mean, they still give up the ball.
I mean, Eli and his Giants may have a better record than the Vikings, no offense, but Eli does have more interceptions than Favre with ease. I think he might even be doubling him at this point. Actually, no, I know he is.
Favre dominates him in that category.
I'm trying to think how many interceptions he has.
Well, he has two games with three.
Yeah.
There's this one that has
seven.
Two.
Yeah, eight.
Okay.
Yeah,
then he had another game. I think he has another
eight.
Two in there, so he's got ten. Right now, you said Favre has five, correct?
I think seven.
He's
not seven yet.
Seven or eight.
If he really has seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has seven. We looked at it last week.
Okay, so then he has as many interceptions all season now, matching what he did all last season.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but
still,
the interceptions are key. I mean, I know a couple in the first couple games, it was off of tips and high and everything. So, yeah, but still kind of his, you know, the high ones are his fault, you know.
Let's take that Titans one off the list, that freak thing that went off the dude's shoulder and everything last week.
But then you get the far reception or whatever you want to call it.
The Bread reception
yes. That he had at the goal line.
Still staying on the topic of quarterbacks who are struggling with interceptions, the Jacksonville Jaguars and David Garrard were facing off against the Buffalo Bills. Now, even though I went ahead and picked against the Bills, there was a lot of talk about how the Jags have struggled with the Bills in the past, and they've had problems finishing the job with them. The games are usually pretty close. This one started out being no exception, but late in the third quarter, the Jags then took control and won the day 36-26. The quarterback stats, David Garrard, 16 for his first 20. Actually, he only threw 20 passes for this game, so 80%, much like in the Colts game. 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did, however, throw an interception and lose a fumble. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the kid out of Harvard, 20 completions, 30 attempts, 67%, 220 yards, 3 touchdowns. On the ground, once again, making a difference. Maurice Jones-Drew, kid they call Mojo, 19 carries, 84 yards, 4.4 a carry. And Deji Kareem, 15 carries, 60 yards, 4.6 a carry. Now, Mojo did go down with an ankle injury, but he's listed right now as probable going into week 6. Also, Deji Kareem, I forgot to mention, is a rookie out of Southern Illinois. Mike Thomas also had 3 carries on for a receiver. Probably ran some reverses, some options action, whatever. Three carries for 53 yards. Not bad until we get to the lost fumble. On the ground for the Bills, Fred Jackson had 12 carries for 73 yards, 6.1 a carry. And rookie C.J. Spiller, 5 carries, 31 yards, 6.2 a carry. Going to the air game, Mercedes Lewis had another big one for the Jags, 4 catches, 54 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Mike Thomas had 4 catches for 51 yards. Yeah, I got mixed up since that whole cable thing before. 4 catches for 51 yards. And Michael Sims Walker, 4 catches, 46 yards with a touchdown. Lee Evans made his return in this game with 5 catches and 87 yards with a touchdown. Roscoe Parrish had 4 catches for 58 yards. And there's that Steve Johnson guy again. 5 catches, 46 yards, 2 touchdowns. Fantasy team pickup, maybe? I don't know.
Possibly.
There.
I'm taking.
There you go.
Everyone dropped Lee Evans, picked up Steve Johnson.
The statistical anomaly in this game is the fact that the Jags had 3 turnovers and still won the game, while the Bills had none. Also, the Bills having 0 turnovers, a statistical anomaly in itself. But the Jags also dominated by about 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes in time of possession. So that's kind of what made the difference. The running game was quite superior for the Jags. Their offense looks pretty balanced in this case. They were struggling at first. The Bills were ahead by a significant amount. I think it was like 20-3 or something by about halftime. And then just opened up. Or 20-10 at one point, I'm sorry, by about halftime. And then just opened up from there. Jags got busy and won the day. The reason why this is significant, I mentioned earlier, with the AFC South, each and every single NFC South team, AFC South team, 3-2. Tight race, that.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting. Playoff implications. We're barely through week 5. I'm just saying. It's a big deal, man. Anyways, speaking of things that are big deals, depending entirely on who you are, of course, I would give you Weasel wrapping it up, talking about the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans, see how I did that? Weasel, take it away.
The Cardinals, at home, upset the Saints 30-20. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 24 of 39, 61%, 279 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 INTs. He was sacked once. The receiving game, Marquez Colston had 7 catches for 97 yards, Devin Henderson had 4 for 61, Robert Meacham had 4 for 57 with a touchdown. Khaki Jeremy Shackey.
Yeah.
At 3 for 10, 3 for 30 with a touchdown. And Liddell Betts had 5 for 26. For the running game, Liddell Betts at 10 rushes for 44 yards, 4.4 average. Now, he did have a fumble, which was a costly one. It was in the early fourth quarter, and it was returned 27 yards for a touchdown by Cardinal safety Kerry Rhodes. Also in the running game, rookie running back Chris Ivory, 10 for 39, 3.9 average. In the passing game for the Cardinals, rookie quarterback Max Paul, 17 of 27, 63%, 168 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT. His interception was on the first drive of the game, which led to a Saints field goal. He had a fumble in the red zone in the mid-second quarter, but luckily for him, it was recovered by offensive tackle Levi Brown.
And then we got a fat guy spike, and then we got a fat guy dance.
He took it 3 yards for a touchdown. He was sacked 4 times. There was a Derek Anderson sighting in the end of the first half, as he was 1 for 2 for 6 yards. In the receiving game, Larry Fitzgerald had 7 catches for 93 yards, tight end Ben Patrick had 5 for 30, and rookie wide receiver Andre Roberts had 2 for 27. In the running game, Beanie Wells had 20 rushes for 35 yards, 1.8 average, and Tim Hightower had 4 for 6, 1.5 average. This game was a game of turnovers that bounced in the favor of the Cardinals. In the second quarter inside the Saints' 5-yard line, the Cardinals intercepted a pass that was deflected off the arms of Liddell Betts, and that was returned to the 2-yard line. On the ensuing drive, the Max Hall fumble was recovered and returned 3 yards for a touchdown by Levi Brown, as previously mentioned. Betts had that one fumble return for a touchdown, and Brees threw another INT on the following drive. Now, finally, with the Saints down 23-20 with only 24 seconds remaining in the game at their own 9-yard line, Brees had a deep pass intercepted by Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Instead of downing it, he rubbed salt in the wound, returning it at 28 yards for a touchdown with only 10 seconds remaining in the game.
Yeah, he did what Clements wanted to do last week for San Fran, that
Well, okay.
That's the fumble against Roddy White, so...
I'm a little surprised that you're the source of bringing this up, so I'm going to... I was expecting these of this, so I'm still going to address it anyway. We were talking about the Clements thing where receiver Roddy White for the Falcons knocked it out of his hands when the Niners had it all but won. Cromartie's is worse because there was only 10 seconds left on the clock and the game was sealed.
Yeah, all he did was just down it and the game was over.
Correct. There. Clements is a different situation. The Niners were up by a single point at said juncture, and there was still 2 minutes left in the game. He was trying to get the score because the Niners still needed points. I'm all right with that. Now, you want to carry the ball like a loaf of bread? You deserve to have the wrath of Coach Singletary. But everybody who's been on Clemens' case, oh, just down it! You're all high. You're all hindsight quarterbacks, man.
Well, you return it, and you protect it.
The protection thing is the problem, absolutely. Yeah. But the people who are getting on this case about returning it at all, which was neither of you two, it's more of these talking heads. Oh, he shouldn't have even been returning it. There's 1 point and there's 2 minutes left. And these same talking heads who have so much confidence in Matt Ryan should be thinking of that too.
The thing is, though, he should have, when he was trying to set up his block, when it wasn't there, he should have just gone out of bounds with that.
Oh, you're talking about Clemens.
Yeah. He should have gone out then because you were down the field. They were in, like, inside the 20 then.
Mm-hmm.
When you got the ball with less than 2 minutes left and you're inside the 20 in field goal range, you're up by one. Right when you, it's cluttered up, just go out of bounds and go down or something, you know? It's,
yes, all even still, if he still just secured the ball properly like you're supposed to when you're running, it wouldn't have gotten knocked loose.
He's a DB.
So?
It don't matter.
He's been playing football for how many years? And I'd hate to play this game, but, you know...
He's a defensive back. He doesn't have good hands. Otherwise, he'd be playing as a receiver.
I don't mean he can't secure the ball.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Pearson's a running back.
He can't hold on to the ball.
He's not a wide receiver, so... Yeah, he doesn't need to secure the ball.
Anyways. Yes, Weasel actually very accurately mentioned the bad day surrounding Waddell Betts as he was responsible for both an interception... not an interception return, but an interception that set up a score, and then also a fumble that was returned for the score. Also, an interesting note for the Cardinals, their epic offense, which rendered, look, what is that, a, like a total of about 200 yards, just over?
Yeah.
Scored absolutely no running or passing touchdowns.
Yep.
So, not unless you count Big Levi Brown as a running touchdown, but you really can't. So, yeah. An epic performance by the Saints, not really. 4 turnovers to 1 in the count. You're not going to win that game, even against the stupid Cardinals. I'm just saying. So with that, we go over to our study hall segment, where we have our game predictions and picks for the week. So going into the week, we were each one game apart. Chris first, me second, Weasel third. Weasel has gained a game on the strength of picking the Texans. In the Texans-Giants game.
The Giants.
He actually thinks he... Or you picked the Giants, I'm
of
sorry.
Course.
And he still thinks he knows something, whatever. And then actually what'll decide if he gains any more ground will be if the Vikings beat the Jets tonight. But enough of that. Let's go ahead and look at next week's games. Chris, go ahead and give me the first one.
Seahawks at the Bears.
Seahawks and Bears. We just want you to leave this one off for us.
I had written down... In pen, Bears.
But that's permanent.
But I crossed it out. So I picked the Seahawks in this game.
Okay, so he's got the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Chris.
You know what? I don't know what the hell the Bears are doing. I'm going to go with the Bears. For some reason, they're finding ways to win. They didn't find against the Giants, but the Seahawks don't have that good of an offense, I don't think. And the Bears' defense is pretty good. They're pretty stout.
Julius Peppers is the real deal. He did have an interception in last week's game.
Yeah, it was Acrobat off of a pass deflection.
Right, off of a deflection that he got, and then he just kind of dove back and caught it. It was very nice looking.
And Coach Fox's answer was, don't run the screen to Julius Peppers' side.
His former coach didn't know better. I'm just saying. Come on, dude. You know, and Bears fans rejoice, because here's what I'm going to tell you what's going to happen already. And I will cite... Homerism here and an NFC West bias involving the Niners, me picking against the Seahawks. But what will happen is I'll pick the Bears and then they'll decide to be who they really are and make Weasel look good.
Yeah, Weez is picking the Seahawks because Marshawn Lynch is over there now. Last week.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a big deal.
Also, they're going to be probably starting Caleb Haney the Bears.
Well, and in truth, we all know that Weasel's favorite quarterback is Matt Hasselbeck, right, Weasel?
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it.
The things he referred to him in previous podcasts before we started trying to go a different direction. Just, yeah.
As long as the game doesn't turn over, time, he'll be okay.
We're going to get the ball, and we're gonna win! That's right.
Yeah.
Anyways, so enough about history. Let's go with the Dolphins facing off against the Packers. Chris?
In this game, Packers do not have a running game at all. Aaron Rodgers is most likely out this mm-hmm. week, so I'm gonna have to go with the Fins.
Weasel.
Fins.
Succinct, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this, and this is gonna be the hardest game to pick, I think, because not so much because it's a lock, but like it should be a lock for the Packers, but there's all these injuries concerns. I mean, they lost to the Skins last week. The Fins have had another week to prepare for them off the bye. It's stacking up. If I'm running odds on this, I would right today, knowing what I know, I would give even money because Aaron Rodgers' status is up in the air.
He's the most likely to be out next week.
And does anybody know off the bat who would be playing for?
Matt Flynn. He was a
very good.
He was a sixth round pick, I think 2 years ago or so.
So still unproven, but then again, so yeah, was Aaron Rodgers at one point. So.
Well, this guy's a sixth round pick, and yeah, Aaron Rodgers was a first round pick.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
No. Definitely worth mentioning. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Fins. I gotta do it. So which is taking us over to our next game. Kind of a big deal, or at least in terms of very fun things to watch. The Ravens facing off against the Pats. Now I'm looking at this, and I see the Patriots pull some games out of their butt. Everyone thinks they're all that in a bag of chips because of what they did to the Dolphins last Monday on the strength of special teams play and poor play just overall by the Dolphins in certain aspects of the game. I don't see any of that being a factor facing off against the Ravens. It's not going to be as big a gap as it was in the first playoff game last year, second playoff game rather last year, but it will be substantial. I got the Ravens. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going with the Ravens too. I mean, Patriots are minus Randy Moss now.
Another.
Oh, yeah, it's all I got is keys. Wes Welker, I mean, and Aaron Hernandez is the two right now that Brady's been throwing to, but...
Which, you know, I believe in Hernandez. Yeah. He's got skill. Weasel.
Ravens front seven. Oh, yeah. He's got a pound Brady.
Weasel.
Ravens, they got a balanced offense now, so...
Also a good
one. So, I'm taking the Ravens.
Okay. anybody picking the Browns against the Steelers?
No.
Moving on.
Oh, no, and Roethlisberger's back.
Yeah,
at least an interception.
Uh-oh. Okay. So yeah, that this is my fault. I forgot about your theory where they'll take the air out of the tires, so to speak. But the Steelers had a bye week to get them ready. That's why I'm not worried about it.
There's still big Ben throwing interceptions for both of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot that he throws for interceptions that are within the red zone. That's true. When he does throw a pick, that's usually what happens. So are you picking the Browns?
No, I'm still saving Steelers, but
so,
just conversation.
Weasel, hand Chris, you're that guy.
if it's any other team besides the Browns or Carolina or Detroit or Buffalo, then maybe, but...
The Chargers.
How the Chargers are right now?
Well, they lost to the Raiders, so
right. Yeah.
I just want an excuse to talk about that.
Yeah. I think I would just pick San Diego, maybe.
No, wow! He believes in the fraud. Anyways.
No, I believe in Antonio Gates.
Yeah. Gates we trust, he says. There you go. See, we talked about, which brings us to a very interesting game, and I believe the week's only double feature, the Bucks and the Saints. Mm-hmm. We got the Saints who are struggling, we got the Bucks who are pulling some wins out of their booty. Weasel, what do you got? Or, you know what, you were struggling. Chris, what do you got?
I got the Saints on it. I mean... Someone's got to put these Bucks in their plates, right? I mean, come on. Really? 3-1?
Yeah.
Really? And getting spanked by the Steelers? 3-1? I mean, granted, yeah, they did play against Carolina.
Yeah. And the Browns.
So, I mean, I'm going to stay with the Saints. They're I mean, their defense didn't give up a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
So I still think that they are.
I'm going to go with the adage often used by regular on ESPN and writer for the Denver Post, I believe it is, Woody Page. Look at the schedule, or as we just cited, the Bucks lack thereof. Yeah, the Saints lost to the Cardinals last week on the strength of shooting themselves in the foot. I know their running back situation is rough, but that just means they're going to throw the ball more. Sean Payton will find a way around it. If the Bucks win, they'll make me a believer, but they haven't yet. I got the Saints too. Weasel.
Last year, when the two teams played each other, the Saints got, I think, a little comfortable with the lead. I think it was like 17-0, and Bucks came back and won it. So let's see this time.
On the strength of the
17-0, and then I think the Saints won't let down. So.
Okay, so we got
Saints
across the board. Okay. So then we're going to the Sunday afternoon game. We got the Vikings and the Cowboys. In light of the fact that the Cowboys lost, and depending on how the Vikings do, could be a must-win early season on for both teams. So, yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. Right now, the only thing I see that Dallas has working for them, which is contrarian, is their offense. If you're going to get into a shooting war with Brett Favre, and now he has Randy Moss, that makes it risky. Which is the reason why I'm stalling with this pick, because I can't really decide.
He wants to give you a minute, Kyle?
Well, no. Really?
Yeah. I mean,
you're just taking more time
picks.
Now. No. Really? Yeah. Really? You've been come on.
Proceed.
Just because you're succinct doesn't mean you know it all. I'm just saying. No. But on the strength of a defense that actually performs, albeit only on occasion, I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to pick the Vikings. Weasel.
I'm going to pick this one.
Homer.
Thank you. Chris.
You know, it's another week with Favre and Randy Moss coming together. And I hate the Cowboys. You know.
Says the Giants fan. Just, wait, does that mean we can call him a Homer now?
That's like a...
I hate
double Homer. Okay.
But, you know what? You're both picking the Vikings. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Contrarian! No, he's not. I'm talking trash.
Just because I'm hoping the Vikings will lose, so I can just rub it in on a weasel.
Oh, that's not cool.
So I'll go with the Cowboys, and that'll kind of separate or
do some
things up.
All right.
Malice.
Fair enough.
So next up, we got the Colts facing off against the Skins. Look, I'll do it first. The Skins gave up everything they had already trying to beat the Packers last week. Colts. Weasel.
I got the Colts, too.
Chris?
Yeah, Peyton Manning's too much for the Redskins.
Okay, another compelling game to pick, and also the Monday night game next week.
Hey, you forgot the Giants-Lions, by the way.
I did what?
Forgot the Giants-Lions.
Yes, what? I did. Giants-Lions. Okay. Weasel, lead it off.
Lions ain't a joke anymore, but they still lose to the Giants.
So you got the Lions?
Giants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Chris?
You know, the Giants, they're going to key Javi. Giants gonna keep Javi Best, and it's gonna cause Sean Hill to throw to Calvin Johnson. So I think the Giants are just gonna be too much for him.
I will show my answer with a question: what is the difference between the Rams and the Giants? A defense. I got the Giants. And so this time for real, going to a very interesting game and a big deal in the AFC South, as all teams are 3-2, Jags and the Titans. Chris,
I got the Titans on this. I think they're for sure going to outrun the Jaguars.
Weasel,
I got the Jags in this game.
I got the Jags on the strength of the fact that I just don't believe in Vince Young. We'll leave it at that. So that will make it for this week's picks. We got every featured team in action. We got 8 games in the podcast next week and an article. So everything all set?
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up. If you have any comments on our picks, go ahead and email us at thesotg@gmail.com. You can always follow us on Twitter. They'll keep you up whenever we keep a post. Or you can go to the website, www.thestoonofthegame.com. Leave comments. Check out the podcasts live there as well. Dial on them. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. And that's all of that. We'll see you next week.